This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bob Zimmerman to take us to battle lines between the constellations. And we don't mean the Greek constellations. We mean the satellite constellations that are even now planning to redirect our understanding of communication in the 21st century. Bob, a very good evening to you. The one I know best is Starlink because I've subscribed. And it's early moments, but I'm now signed up to get the box and the equipment so that I can link somewhere from here in the farmland of Connecticut to Eyes in the Skies or Ears in the Skies, a constellation. That is one constellation, but you're talking about several. How so? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, Tom. Well, you know, we've got, there is a really heated competition going on to provide internet service to the world using satellites in orbit. And in the past, those satellites, such as Viasat is a company that's done this, in the past, satellites that provided any internet service on the ground were located in high orbits, in geosynchronous orbit, 28,000 miles up. And what the problem with that was a delay. It took a lot of time, relatively, for the signal to go up to the satellite and then come back down to the Earth. And so they called this latency. There was no way those systems could ever really compete with ground-based or DSL or hardwire systems. But they were used in a variety of places. Airlines would use Viasat, for example, to provide Wi-Fi online. Well, Elon Musk and another company, OneWeb, Elon Musk, Starlink and OneWeb, have been putting up constellations in much lower orbit, so they don't have this latency problem. And the speeds you get as a internet user will be very, very high. And they're both up there. And they had been fighting with the FCC over satellite configurations, positioning, frequency use by sending letters to the FCC arguing about this. Well, in the last week or so, they issued a joint letter, OneWeb and Starlink, a joint letter telling the FCC to cancel out all those previous complaints, drop them. They are now working on friendly terms and have worked out their differences. I think part of the reason this happened is because OneWeb, which had been launching its satellites using Russia's Soyuz rocket, it lost that capability earlier this year when the Russians invaded the Ukraine. Not only were there sanctions put on them by Europe, and OneWeb is a British Indian company with ties to Europe, but the Russians, in response, confiscated 36 OneWeb satellites that it was going to launch, and it canceled that launch. And so OneWeb canceled all its launches with the Russians and needed to find another place to launch its satellites. And lo and behold, it signed a deal with SpaceX, the owner of Starlink. I'm sorry. So SpaceX was glad. They said, we don't care that you're putting up countless satellites that compete with Starlink. Our job at SpaceX is to launch product, and you have a product, you want to launch it, so we'll launch it for you. So they made a deal to launch, but I think in the negotiations for that, SpaceX almost certainly said to OneWeb, look, let's use this opportunity to talk and we'll iron out our differences. And they might even use, SpaceX might even use its leverage to get a little bit better deal from OneWeb. Either way, they've worked out their arrangements, John. At the same time, this same past week, SpaceX sent its own letter to the FCC, ramping up its opposition to the Dish Network's 5G ground-based system, claiming that the wavelength it will use will do serious harm to the Starlink satellite constellation. And so we've got this battle going on. The Dish Network is ground-based, but it is an internet system. Starlink and OneWeb are in the orbit. Viasat, by the way, has also sent a letter to the FCC telling it that it wants it to shut Starlink down entirely because it might block telescopes from seeing the sky. Viasat really doesn't have a product that can compete anymore against these low orbit constellations, and so the only way they can really argue is by shutting down their competition, use the government to do that. So what we've got here are battle lines and alliances being drawn. Really, on one side you've got the new low orbiting satellite constellations, SpaceX and OneWeb, and the other side you've got the older satellite constellations like Viasat and the ground based ones like like Dish, and they're fighting with each other. And on the side, you've got Amazon with its not yet launched and forever delayed Kuiper constellation, which should fall into the same boat as SpaceX and OneWeb, but who knows what Jeff Bezos' company might do. There are interesting things with that company, and so we don't know, John.
I want to complicate this by my incomplete memory, Bob, that Russia and China have spoken of launching constellations.
Oh, yes.
And didn't India also, there was something about, in any event.
India is part of OneWeb. And so I don't remember India having its own large constellation. But you're absolutely right. In fact, I was going to add this to the post and I forgot to do it. But yes, we don't not only have these big commercial constellations, but China's proposing to put up a 10,000 satellite constellation of its own. And they're going to have to work with the international frequency regulations so that it doesn't conflict with the others. And so that's going to be part of this story as well.
We need to reestablish something that you said you reported on some time ago. I forgot it, so when I read the new item, I was surprised. China has brought forward a proposal written by a researcher that the Starlink constellation is a security threat and that China best prepared to hack it is the way it was presented most recently. What is the plan?
Well, we talked about this a few weeks ago. I reported on it when it first broke. Any recent stories are very late to the game. A Chinese researcher was proposing ways in which the Chinese government could block or eliminate the Starlink constellation. It's extremely difficult to do that because with that many satellites up, they have great redundancy, and you can't eliminate one satellite does nothing. And getting rid of them all is extremely difficult. And so jamming it is maybe the only solution. Even that can be very, very difficult. And so, but they're looking at it because, yes, and, you know, it's like any arms race. You build something, someone else will come up with some way to block it or destroy it. And then you have to come up a way to block them from blocking it and destroying it and so forth and so on.
All right. The tortoise and the hare. The tortoise is Blue Origin. The hare is SpaceX. The tortoise has moved a step. What has it done?
Well, I'll tell you, John, this is an interesting story. This has to do with New Shepard, a Blue Origin suborbital spacecraft that's been flying tourists into space. It's done five flights since its first flight in 21 and flown 14 passengers in that time period. And one of the things that's been puzzling is that Blue Origin has not announced a ticket price. So we haven't been able to figure out what are they charging people for this. It appears that they're charging people based upon their own personal opinion of the individual. Let me quote, it's not about money, it's about who you are, your social capital, whether you align with their launch purposes, that's Blue Origin, and it's kind of a package deal. This is coming from a company that actually acts as a ticket agent for these flights. So Blue Origin basically charges you based on what it thinks you can afford to pay and also whether or not you fit its interpretation of proper social upbringing, I guess you could say, or social political positions. I'm not sure. But either way, they're doing this. As long as they don't discriminate based on race, ethnicity, sex, or religion, they can do this. But it seems really unseemly to me to consider a person's wealth and status in determining what the price will be. I'll tell you this. If I called them up and said, I'd like to fly, how much it will cost? And they said, well, we got to know your income. I tell them, go jump in a lake. That's what I would do.
Bob, this reminds me of the famous Twilight Zone episode when everybody wants to go to the planet that's visited. The aliens have arrived and they're welcoming people to travel. And at the end, there's that cookbook. Remember it? It's a cookbook.
Yes, it's a cookbook. Serve man.
Yes. It reminds, all of a sudden, the way you told that story, it reminded me it's a cookbook. If you haven't
Well, that's exactly what this is, John. It is a cookbook because what business is it of Blue Origin to ask you these kind of questions? And it sets a precedent that others could take whereby, you don't have the right kind of social standing score to buy our product and we'll deny it to you.
You don't look appetite. You don't whet our appetite, would be the pun.
Yes.
All right. We come to Ariana 6. What is that, Bob?
Ariane 6 is the replacement rocket that Ariane Group is developing for Ariane Space, which is developing it for the European Space Agency. Boy, the bureaucracies in Europe are amazing. Ariane Group is a private consortium of companies that is building the satellite, this rocket, and they're going to have some control over it, unlike in the past, so it's more privately oriented. But it's been delayed. It's been delayed for another year till they won't get their first launch off, they now say, till next year, 23. What's interesting about this story, John, is that they have a time, they have a problem, because they've only got four Ariane 5 rockets left. And they used to try to launch anywhere from 8 to 12 times a year. Well, they won't be able to do this until they get Ariane 6 going, and it's now delayed an extra few more months, at least, having problems with the ground system.
Is Ariane 6 reusable? I don't remember.
No, absolutely not. That's one of its problems. If it was saved, it was having trouble getting customers because it's not competitive, but it was saved by Amazon, Jeff Bezos' Amazon, which has now hired it and ULA a lot of rocket launches to put up the Kuiper constellation of satellites. Apparently, since Bezos has lots of money, he doesn't really care what prices are, so he's willing to pay more for his satellites. Launch systems, John.
All right, so Ariane 6 is not competitive, but it's going to launch anyway. And the reusability, everybody accepts the fact that it's going to be able to win these contracts if it's on the basis of bidding. Is that correct, Bob?
Yeah, it's already got a gigantic contract with Amazon, so it's got plenty of launches coming up because of that.
All right.
But it's got to get it launching, just like Blue Origin's got to get its New Glenn rocket launched, and that's way behind schedule as well. That's
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We've done our duty with space engineering. We're going space exploring next to the surface of Mars. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.